Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Back when the pandemic hit, many artists and creatives were forced to pivot their careers in order to survive. But for one musical duo, that career move led to their music being heard by millions of people around the world through platforms like Netflix, Apple TV, PlayStation, even some Hollywood films. Their music has featured on Harlan Coben's adaptations Missing You and Fool Me Once on Netflix. You may have seen both of them. And on Love Island and The Traitors on television. Gus Crawford-Collins and Kim Hayden are Dream A Lot, and they're with me here in the studio. It's lovely to have you with us.
Thanks for having us, Claire.
Not at all. Lovely to have you with. So tell us what you do. Maybe, Kim, if you start us off. Like, you create music that we'll hear on TV, in gaming trailers and film trailers. Is that right?
Yeah, that's it. So we make music to match the visuals and set the atmosphere in scenes or trailers or the reality TV shows like Love Island as well. So it's a nice mix.
Yeah. And how did that start then, Gus?
I suppose, we've been musicians for years, and then it was really COVID that gave us the chance to actually work with each other. We've been saying it for ages that we wanted to get into film and trailers but just the whole movie realm. So it was having that downtime literally just allowed us to get stuck in.
But where do you start? Hello, movie mogul. Yeah. We're here in Ireland. How did you make the break?
It was literally just a case of being tenacious and cold calling people and hitting them up via various means. And you know, you could send out, you know, 300 emails and you might get one or two responses, and then that would lead to the next thing. And it was just a case of building up from ground zero. Literally, we didn't know anybody at all in this specific realm when we started. So it's just a case of building the trust with people. And then, it was really essentially the Trailer House Create, who we worked with all the Netflix productions. The team there gave us our kind of first really big break, and that led into the...
They replied to the email.
Yeah, they replied to the email.
They were one of the ones that responded. So thank you, Create.
Yes.
I mean, COVID was a thing as well where you didn't need to do the face-to-face. So people maybe were more responsive to an approach like that at that time, weren't
they? Definitely.
I think
that was our saving grace, really, because before that, you would have had to go out to LA and done the face-to-face meetings, and COVID really opened up the doors for us to just hop on a Zoom call and build it that way. So it was kind of perfect timing, really.
So Gus mentioned you were both musicians and creatives in your own right. What were you doing prior to this?
So I was more on the live scene, doing like a lot of weddings, singer-songwriting, and that was my kind of thing for years and years. I did The Voice many moons ago as well, back in 2012. So I've been more on stage. So the last few years has been the studio, which is amazing, but we are going back on stage now in July, which is very exciting.
You have a gig in Whelan's coming up.
That's
right,
together.
27th of July, our first Dream A Lot debut.
So Gus, what were you doing then prior to this career?
So I was on the live side as well, but I also ran a studio, and out of that studio I sort of learned how to grow in the world of sync from doing music for advertising and car launches and things like that. So I was very, very much in that sector, and it was like I learned everything I kind of know today in terms of how to deal with people and how to kind of work everything on the back end and cut to picture. But then, so we translated that into the film realm. And
so that's how this works then.
Mm.
You'll be sent some of the pictures that you have to write to.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny, actually.
It changes sometimes,
In the trailer world, it's actually the other way. They ask us to create the track first, and then they'll cut the trailer to the track, which is cool. But sometimes they may send us rushes. So with the Harlan Coben stuff, obviously it's quite specific, the storyline. So we'll often get some rushes through or a V1 cut, and then we can start piecing together
because
the track.
Because you'd need to get a feel for what you're
absolutely.
Writing for, right?
Totally.
Yeah,
totally,
absolutely, yeah. Because otherwise it could be like a really happy song going into this thriller thing. So you need to know what the tone is and the atmosphere. And it's kind of cool, though, not like seeing the visuals as well, because then when you see them actually marry together, it's like, wow, that, you know, the beauty of the creativity with the visuals and the music is amazing seeing it. Yeah.
And these companies you're working with, are they all like fast, fast, fast? We need it now.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yesterday.
They
want
it tomorrow morning, right?
So how much time would you be given generally to come up with a piece of music?
Like sometimes we'd have to turn a track around it within 24 hours.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, really.
It's pretty scary. Your studio in Wicklow, and you're sitting there, and you get a commission in, and you have to do it. You're working overnight, essentially.
Literally. It could be, you know, sometimes you might finish at 4 or 5 in the morning, depending on. Yeah. Sometimes it's good when we're working with LA, because you can actually, you know, work late.
Still
and
communicate
then,
with them then throughout the night.
Yeah. And then they're not up until our 5 o'clock, so it actually works well.
You know, creativity doesn't always work like that, though, does it?
No.
You know, you say, I have to do this thing, and it just doesn't happen.
Oh, we've had many of those days where you're like sitting there going, what are we going to do? This
I think every artist has, isn't it?
Yeah. And then, but like you can get lucky when it's like, oh, wow, it's working, it's working. But the pressure, I think, does help, but it can be a challenge as well.
Well, I think that's the magic and the beauty of music is you never know what's going to come out when you're playing. And, you know, that's the creative process, isn't it? You know, you have to, you know, channel those energies to find what it is that you want to translate.
Well, will we name drop now some of the things that you've worked on? So,
Hello
Tomorrow, that was, you worked on the trailer for that. That was sort of the big break, am
I right?
That
was the big break, yeah.
And what followed on from there then?
Then it was Netflix Obsession.
Obsession, yeah. That was a big one to get with Netflix, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What did you do on that show?
We did a cover of Kylie Minogue, Can't Get You Out of My Head. And actually, Charlie Murphy is one of the main actresses in that show. So it was nice having an Irish in there as well. Yeah. So that was that one.
And then that year was our kind of big break with Love
Harlan
Island.
Coburn as well.
Yeah, and Harlan Coburn as well. At the end of the year. So yeah, it was Love Island in the summer. We got, I think it was 7 or 8 tracks in that series. And then Harlan Coben Fool Me Once at the end of the year, which was amazing. So
and that was huge, wasn't it?
Massive,
I mean, that was number one everywhere when it came out, wasn't it?
Yeah. We did the Christina Aguilera cover of Fighter for that one. And then the latest one was Missing, All About the Girl.
Well, I think we have a clip from the Christina Aguilera cover, which we can listen to now. This features in the trailer for Fool Me Once. Let's have a listen to this. You were given permission, of course, to cover some of these songs by the biggest artists in the world, including Christina Aguilera. So familiar now from watching Fool Me Once, now that I hear it again. Will you talk me through the process then? How do you arrive at, you know, taking Christina Aguilera's hit and putting it in there?
In terms of what, the musicality or the
idea, the concept, the whole thing?
Okay, well, normally it's the trailer house that would reach out to us and say, oh, look, this, you know, they brief us on the program, and then they'd say, look, we're toying with a couple of track ideas, and we'd quite often sort of talk through and say, we come to an agreement that we say, oh, let's try Christina Aguilera's Fighter. That would, for that one, I think there was a couple of choices and we all felt that was the best one to go with.
Yeah.
So we literally just jumped in.
A very daunting one to take
on,
though.
Big time.
She's one of my idols as well. So I was like, oh my God, this is so scary.
How do I touch this one?
Yeah, absolutely.
But it was a fun process. We just sit down at the piano, jam it out and start piecing it together, and then arrive at a fairly decent V1 to send over to the trailer house, and they'll start cutting, and they might come back with some extra bits. Amazing in that case, I think there was only one amendment, was just to go even bigger at the end of it. So
because there's a sense of eeriness and mystery injected into that song there. That's what I heard anyway.
Cool.
Am I right? Is that what I'm supposed to hear?
Spot on. Yeah, absolutely.
And copyright must stand in your way then, does it sometimes?
Well, normally it's basically how it works is when the track's finished, then the Netflix clearance team will then reach out to the artist. I know it sounds completely back to front, and it
does.
Is,
yeah, so you do all the work, and then you might get a no.
Yeah. And that has happened with Obsession. I think
it happened with MIA, Bad Girls, and then we took on Hands to Myself, Selena Gomez. There was no response from her team at all, and then Kylie worked out, which was amazing.
So it was three tracks before it went across.
But I suppose it makes sense too, in that the artist and the managers, they have to hear the finished products. They want to know what you're going to do
with it. You need a trading point of some kind.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. Absolutely. And PlayStation then, what do you do with PlayStation?
So yeah, with PlayStation, it was our cover of Dreams by the Cranberries that got the big spot for the 30th anniversary trailer. So it was amazing with that one. They actually just reached out and said, "Can we use this track?" And it was negotiated a deal and sent them across all the stems, which is, you know, separating the track out. And then it was really smooth sailing. That one, amazing.
That one was brilliant. Yeah.
But it's very different as well to work, you know, on gaming platforms, I'm sure, for
completely.
You.
Completely different.
Yeah.
It's a whole other vibe.
Yeah.
We can hear what you did with the Cranberries' Dreams. Let's have a listen. That is the Dream-A-Lot version of Dreams from the Cranberries. Again, daunting though to be asked to go at a song that is so well loved, revered.
Big time.
Dolores is another idol of mine, so it was like, oh, these songs are so scary.
So
it was a big one. Yeah,
but you do what you have to do, and respecting the original piece as well, you can hear there.
Pay homage to it, absolutely. Mm. Yeah.
AI then. I mean, we have seen there are concerns amongst many major artists. We had the release of that Silent album last week, didn't we, in protest at the use of AI. Yeah. So where does that leave you?
Leaves us in a very scary position, actually.
Yeah.
The head of...
It's very worrying.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I've just seen only a few hours ago, the head of UK Music had launched a podcast about talking about the... how catastrophic this is. So at the minute, everything's kind of up in the air, really. We're trying to gather as many people to protest about it as possible and go through the right channels.
Because the fear is that AI will be able to do what you're doing right now.
Yeah.
Basically,
it's not going anywhere either, which is scary. And it just seems to be kind of getting into every industry and just doing its thing. And it's like, oh, where does it leave people?
Essentially, what the UK government is doing now, and then this goes for any Irish artist who's working through any UK labels or publishing house, is that the UK government's going to allow big tech to essentially take any existing recording and use it for all their AI models to train on.
Mm-hmm.
So
have you seen and have you witnessed AI doing what you do? Have you tried it yourselves?
No, I haven't tried it ourselves. No, but I haven't.
I'd be terrified if I heard it. Like, because you hear some of the massive artists and it just mimics their voices so precisely, which is so scary.
Mm-hmm. That could really change things for
big
you.
Time.
But you're trying to work against it, as I said, many artists are. Yeah. So tell us about this gig coming up in July, a couple of months away in Whelans.
Yep.
Yes. So it's the 27th of July in Whelans. We're playing the main stage. We have two amazing support acts as well, Nadia and Kelly Lewis. And we have a full band with us. So
full band. We're doing the whole thing, translating it completely live. So it's not going to be a stripped back version. It's going to be all the bells and whistles.
So out of the high pressure studio in Wicklow and onto the high pressure stage of Whelans.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go.
Nice and relaxing.
Nice and easy.
High octane. Well, listen, it was great to meet you both.
Thank you.
And
so
thank
much.
You for coming in. Continued success to Dream A Lot, Gus and Kim. The gig is on in Whelans on the Saturday, the 27th of July, as you mentioned, on the main stage. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having us.
Lovely to meet you.